Welcome to Extreme Gaming Podcast, episode 312. This is going to be a shorter episode made up of a bunch of highlights from a past bunch of shows because it's the holidays and we're all spending it with our families and so forth. So everybody out there have a happy holidays, and I hope you enjoy this selection of different things from our past shows. We will be back for a new show before New Year's, or we'll probably be out on New Year's, and we'll see you all then. Thanks for supporting us. Talk to you later. Bye.
Welcome to the Extreme Gaming Podcast.
Chronos, the New Dawn, I believe just came out. Well, it actually came out early for some people, but I was able to grab a hold of it and play it. I heard a couple things about it. I watched some footage on YouTube before I played it. And right away, it looked kind of like Dead Space. So I figured, oh, I love Dead Space, so I want to see what this is all about. I'm not going to say it's a complete ripoff of Dead Space, because in a way, to even call it Dead Space-like is actually an honor, because you don't see any Dead Space games anymore. The one that they just put out, the remake, remaster, whatever you want to call it, is good. It is good, but yeah. it's still the first game, though, even though it's good.
True.
So they haven't put out any new Dead Space stuff in many, many years. So basically, from the gist of the story I'm getting, I'm about probably 20-25%. I put in several hours. I'm having fun with it.
Great. One quick question. Is it like your typical survival horror game, like the Resident Evils and stuff, or?
Well, it depends on which kind of horror is such a broad subject.
Yeah, I know. So, but you know,
it's
what
not
kind
a Resident
game,
Evil
I mean,
kind of thing. It's not a Silent Hill kind of thing. I mean, there might be some similarities. But to be honest with you, if you've played the Dead Space games, then you will be right at home with this game.
Oh, yeah. I want to play this game, but I'm just waiting for Silent Hill first, and then probably I will go into that one.
Well, this game, there's apparently a group of, I don't know what you call them, agents or something, and they're called Travelers, and apparently they can manipulate time in a certain area, and I'll get to that in a second. But what's happening is that they're supposed to be, all the mission hasn't been revealed to me yet, which is good. That's the way it should be. But basically they were trying to get to a certain person or whatever that's going to help solve the problem of what's going on in this area. Now, apparently it looks like they're in Poland, and some kind of virus, if you want to call it that, came around or whatever, and you could see different people, you know, as you go through the environment, you open up some of the letters and stuff and you start seeing slowly what's been going on, kind of.
Oh, yeah.
So basically what's been happening is that some of the people were getting sick. There was little notes and stuff by the kids of the parents, and they were like, mommy and daddy are gone, and you know, I don't know what's going on. And when they get hit by this virus, they start turning into, you know, basically some monstrosities like you've seen in Dead Space before. But the one thing they did do in this game that's a little different than the Dead Space is that once you kill an enemy, if you don't burn the remains, then another enemy can come along, absorb the remains, and turns into a creature that's even worse than the one before. So, and what they do is they make it purposely hard to get the flamethrower fuel that you need. So it's impossible to burn the remains of everything you encounter. You try your best, but I mean, but you're not going to get everybody. So all of a sudden you're hit with enemies that are getting stronger and stronger and stronger because they're absorbing and merging with these other things. The time paradox in the game, which is kind of interesting, is that as you travel around and you come up to an area where you have to get from one place to another, but it's blocked off, they have these bizarre time warpy things going on. And you have the equipment to basically spin time backwards in an area before, let's say, the bridge fell down.
Okay.
And
so
when you do that,
another mechanic. Right.
Yeah. When you do that, all of a sudden you see the bridge just form itself again like it was before it fell down. And then in that little time pocket of the past, so to speak, you can walk across the bridge and get to the other side that you have to be at. They don't make it simple. As you go along, more of these time anomalies happen, and you have to figure out where it is that you're supposed to place the charge to make it go back in time. And sometimes it's multiple different charges just to get one thing to happen so that you can get to wherever you're going.
This is just, you know, my perspective as a gamer and what I discovered going into the underbelly of YouTube and forums and whatever the hell it is. So apparently what happens, right? Let's start with 9950X3D. It's a dual CCD chip, right? Now, I don't know if you boys did it, but have you ever tested your 1% lows? Especially Jeff, because I think...
Explain to me what 1% lows are, man. I've never fully understood that, and I don't think I actually care about it either.
Yeah, you will care about it. One second, Trev. So you play at 4K, I guess.
Yes, Trev cares 1%.
Okay. Okay. But like, let's say the 1% lows, let's explain this. You got your frame rate, then you got your average frame rate, and you got your 1% lows. So let's say your frame rate is, let's take something easy, 150, right? So your average, just for the sake of argument, is also 150. So you have a perfect line, right? But then you have the 1% lows. And when you go to the X3D chips, you see that the 1% lows sometimes are like 30 FPS, 7 FPS, 55 FPS, sometimes 70 FPS, depending on where you are and how much needs to be loaded into the V-cache, right? This is going to give another problem later on. So every time you feel a stutter, right? Mostly it's if you go from 150 FPS to 110 FPS, back to 150 in a split second, get a little micro stutter, right? We all had those. It's just nothing you can do about it. The thing is, though, with the X3D chips, the 1% lows are going to be a lot lower than even with the Core Ultras from Intel, which I don't know why that is, to be fair. So I did some investigation, contacted a few YouTubers that were actually talking about this problem because, hey, this is something I feel that should be known, right, in the mainstream a little bit, because this could potentially, you know, ruin someone's, you know, buying day. Decisions. Yeah, they also, depending on how much and what you want to buy, right? So what is the problem with the X3D chip, with the dual CCDs? You got two CCDs in there, one gaming and one for all the rest, I guess it is, so to speak, right? So when you actually start up a game, right, what should happen in theory is that it will disable one CCD and then just use the gaming CCD. But that is not really what happens because the scheduler plane doesn't work on those chips. That's a known problem. You can look this up. I will link a few YouTube videos.
They fixed this for the 9000 series. It was tested by J2Sense. They actually managed to fix it so the scheduler 9 times out of 10 works.
J2Sense tested completely wrong. His testing methodology was totally wrong, apparently. So, and that's another problem with the mainstream tech tubers. So not only J2Sense, they don't do this intentional, by the way, just saying. So it's something that...
Yeah, it's not
also
like he went out to do it the wrong way.
I honestly didn't believe it at first also, but the deeper you looked into it, it's like, oh my God, we have a little problem here, right? So what happens is, because a scheduler doesn't really work on those chips, you know, the data needs to go through the Infinity Fabric, which is the long way around, so to speak. What happens then is that it can't feed all the data through to the V-cache, which is a problem, which will you know, cause those 1% lows being lower than a lot of other chips. With the 9800X3D, the problem is similar, but in another way. What happens after a while is that the V-cache fills up and it will start to spill over into your system memory. And that is when the problems start to arise. And there's not really a surefire way to test this, right? Like an easy way to test this, so to speak, because again, I'm not a tech tuber. I had to look this up also from a lot of different sources. I even contacted someone about it and he replied to me, but I'll come back to that one later, right? So what happens then is, then the X3D chips kind of fall apart on a certain level, right? Mm-hmm. Not that it's unplayable, so don't worry about it. I mean, oh my, I go from 150 to 110 FPS. Oh, big deal, right? So you still have a lot of FPS over. But it's that microsecond that it does that causes a stutter. And right. I feel that the mainstream tech tubers, right, should have actually investigated this a little bit further, right? But there's a reason they don't do it. And I also understand why they don't do it, because first of all, the audience for that maybe isn't really there. Second, there is apparently a little bit of a problem on YouTube when it comes to being negative about AMD, and they, of course, don't want to lose their audience, which I completely understand, right? They make a living off YouTube, so why not?
Some bugs, and I think Hans knows about this as well, so he can throw in...
You really want to trigger me this podcast, don't you?
We have to.
That's why you're on, man.
So Asus has confirmed its BIOS fix for ROG laptop stuttering woes. Hans will tell us whether it is or not. So this is going back far, September 29th. For weeks, owners of Asus ROG gaming laptops have been scratching their heads and other things like Gray over mysterious stuttering. You're welcome. Audio crackles, lag spikes, and even made high-end rigs feel like budget machines. Yes, indeed.
That is a bit of an overstatement, but okay, continue.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it just
were
laptops?
You just looking down at something big?
I was looking at something big. It's not a laptop, though. It's a desktop. But hey, sometimes I wonder. Yeah, so it's officially confirmed that of the culprit and the fix is finally on its way. It's taken a long time. It's got to go around the channels, around China,
go all over
Russia. You know,
doesn't go with the speed of the internet.
No, that's it. And AI has nothing to do with it, so it might not work. Anyway, there we go. So the glitch that wouldn't go away. Reporters began surfacing earlier in September across Reddit and GitHub with frustrated players like Hans describing random freezes and latency spikes during gaming sessions, video calls, and even idle desktop use. Independent researcher Zafrek dug deeper and uncovered the root cause.
His name is Dog Deeper?
Yeah, Zafrek. What a great...
That guy actually did a lot of work, by the way, but...
is that his surname? Dug Deeper? Zafrek Dug Deeper. Anyway, that was brilliant.
Deeper, wider, longer. I don't know. What are we doing here?
Too much blue pills. Blue, too much
goodbye, monetization. Goodbye.
Yeah. There we go.
It's all innuendo. That's good.
Yeah. The ACPI firmware bugs were forcing CPU cores to mishandle interprets. The discrete GPU was power cycling every 15 to 30 seconds, even while active. Nice. The result, a perfect storm of micro stutters that no driver update could solve. Asus did respond with after a mounting community pressure, acknowledged the issue on the 26th and confirmed that the BIOS level fix is in development. Beta BIOS updates are rolling out, first for the ROG Strix SCAR 15, which was released 2023, and the ROG Cypherus M16.
By the way, it's just that's both different series. Mm. So the 15 is 15 inch, so it goes up.
Yes.
There.
And then you got the 16.
Yeah.
You got stable releases for other affected models, including the 2021 and the 2024 SCAR, Strix, and Sapphire lines, which will follow early this month in October.
I had a chuckle when I saw a picture of a cassette tape, and I'm sitting there going, like, oh my God. Cassette tape, and it goes way back for me, and I'm sitting there looking at this going like, what is this? And then I said, I'm reading this thing, and apparently this cassette tape is going to basically replace entire data centers. And I'm like, huh? And so I start reading this thing, and apparently they're using a cassette tape. Yes, true. And the tape is an actual tape inside of it. Okay. But to give you a couple quickies on this thing, it's DNA, and I'm trying to figure out, like, DNA, how's that work? So they basically are going to take the DNA and use it as a storage medium by putting the DNA sequencing onto these tapes. And apparently, from what I'm understanding, a DNA in a single human cell can theoretically hold 3.2 gigabytes of data, which is equivalent to 6,000 books, 1,000 songs, you know, and if you want to go that far. They said that this is going to be a protective crystalline layer that ensures the data remains intact. It's going to operate without electricity. Electricity. I thought, okay, this all sounded pretty good. They said that a 328-foot DNA cassette tape, meaning the tape inside, is 328 feet long. In the cassette, can hold over 3 billion songs. They said that they expect the prototype device to handle 36 petabytes of data, which equals a storage of 36,000 hard drives.
I could use that as my main gaming drive.
There you go. You never have to get another one again. Nope. Wouldn't it be hilarious, though? You sit there and you buy a PC and it has a slot for a cassette tape. Just like the old days. And you just pop that tape in and like, well,
I'll probably be the first one to buy it if the price is okay. So
it's just because I think those things are cool. You know, they're going to be aiming, obviously, at data centers first. And part of the reason they're doing this is not just the amount of storage, but when you have something that can hold that much data, that means you don't have to buy as much land, you don't have to run as much hardware. And if they're talking about no electricity, I mean, hello.
Won't have any of the problems of heat.
Yeah, the electricity costs will go down, you know, what and other stuff that you need. So, yeah, I mean, everybody's racing to look up the best way of doing this. And this is pretty, I thought this is very cool. This is definitely something different that I've never heard of before. They said that one of the challenges is the speed at which the data can be written. They said that they're not concerned about it. They're working on that, you know, right now. Long-term data storage, though, is thousands of years.
Yeah, it'll be long gone.
Yeah.
You know, the cassette tape of games that you played, and like you put it in a time capsule 1,000 years from now, somebody digs it up. Goes, look, the cassette tape. Let's put this in this computer and see what happens.
Yeah.
They'll see the three of us on a podcast.
Oh, no. I don't think that's good for legacy.
They'll be like, oh, no. Who are these people?
This is the best the world had to offer, huh? Okay. Yeah,
yeah, that's it.
It'll be like those comedy movies where they find a tape of us three and they go like that. They must be the leaders of that country.
Yeah. So,
I mean, why would they be like?
Well, yeah. They're going to take on zombies and everything and infections.
Yeah, wow. It's just amazing. They've taken care of so many threats and things. It's just crazy.
Yeah, robot wars.
Did you see anything about how many hours to complete?
Apparently, it takes about 12 hours to complete.
Well, that's not that much.
Which, for me, will probably be then around 20 to 25 because I play very slowly in those games. And I do go off on side things if there is anything. Right.
I've not played a lot of Silent Hill, but is that common? That kind of playtime, I guess.
Silent Hill 2, I think. Let me check the remake I did last year. I think I put in 40 hours. I need to check this very quickly now.
Because I mean, it sounds like fun, but I'm thinking back on the cost now. If they're charging that much for the game,
excuse me. Silent Hill 2, I played 25 hours. Okay. To complete it.
So even at that rate, if they're publishing this fact that it's 12, that's bad enough because you're thinking like, well, I paid $80 for it. I'm getting 12 hours and I'm done.
To be fair, though, I'm not defending the price tag. That is just lunacy to me. I don't think any game should be more than 50, but that's a personal opinion. I mean, but when the developers say it takes like 12 hours, that means it's straight to the point and without dying and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I think a more logical thing would be 16, 17.
Yeah. I mean,
and if you play like me, it's probably between 20 and 25.
That's so more like me too. So, whatever they say, I double it.
Yeah. So because I'm not the one that just plays straight to the point. If there's an arrow that says go right, I will go left, right? Just to see what's
just
there.
To see what's there. Yeah. I would like that as well.
That's me. So,
That's kind of like I'm playing a Sniper Elite Resistance, and they came out with 3 new DLC. So I waited till they are all out before I went to play it, because I wanted to play them, you know, have something there. So I've seen people who sit there and go like, yeah, I completed, you know, Yucca Yucca Mission in, you know, whatever time. And I'm going like, all they're doing, though, is they're flying through it, running and gunning. It's not even the it's not even what the game's about.
Yeah.
The game's about being a sniper. I mean, you know, thinking like way more to finish my mission.
I think we're the same in that respect, because we always... At least I do, and I think you too. We play the game very slowly, right?
Yeah.
At least I take my time for every game.
Yeah. So. I mean, you might miss something. I've known to play some games, and then someone's going, oh, I found this there. And I'm like, oh. And then having to go back or restart. Yeah. And then from there on in, I've just been, okay, I'm going to go this way. I'm going to go this way. I'm going to look through this little thing. There's a danger sign. I'm still going to go down there.
Well, first of all, if on this game, Sniper Elite, I mean, I'm not going to say I'm a completionist. I'm not worried if I get all the trophies. Well, but what I do like to do is I like to eliminate everybody on the map. I mean, I don't have to, but I like to because it's fun. It gets a challenge. And you were right about something, Matt, about sometimes you miss something, because I had done the missions. There was still a truck to explode. It wasn't necessary to blow it up because I had already finished what was really
it's
needed.
It's always necessary to blow things
right.
up.
Right, and I'm sitting there going like, well, I'm not going to leave it there. So I just go over and blow it up. And then since I blew it up, then it triggered a cutscene to where this V2 rocket, World War II, right? So this V2 rocket starts to take off, and it gets stuck on the ramp because I sabotaged it. And then it says, shoot the rocket. Now, if I hadn't paid attention to stuff, I would have exfiltrated, and I never would have known it. Mm-hmm. And I'm going like, cool. So I pick off a V2 at 200 meters and blow it up. And then I exfiltrate. I was like, yeah, man.
That isn't
cool.
Very snipery, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
So I just thought that was
hit it with
cool.
a hammer.
Yeah.
Well, the first things I do, and I mean, there's no, you all know out there probably by now, Sniper's my favorite games. Mm-hmm. But my next favorite is pretty much everything else. but everything, what I really enjoy in the Sniper Elite kind of games, or Sniper Ghost Warrior, I don't know if they're going to do a new one of those. But I'm looking for the shots I can take that are long, you know, because hey, making great. A long shot is just...
Did you ever finish Elden Ring, by the way, on the side note here?
I didn't.
No, you didn't. Okay, I finished it multiple times. I'm new game wow. 14. New game 14, I think I am.
New game DLC. 14 on the original Elden Ring?
Yeah.
Holy moly.
So,
I'll tell you one thing. You have the patience of, I don't know what, man. Because I couldn't even come close to doing a boss for 48 times. I mean, there's no way in hell. The trick is, though,
I don't really get annoyed at a video game. It doesn't matter for
me.
Oh,
I know. So. I can tell because you would have already, you know, rage quit or something.
No, that happens rarely. There's a few instances there, mostly in multiplayer. You know, like World of Warcraft, when we did a raid and we die 50 times to the same boss right. because one person keeps making the same mistake. So that's when I rage quit. So.
Well, one thing is interesting about what it breaking the internet was exactly what a lot of the other gaming companies that were going to release games around the same time. Apparently, that it was wise of them that they didn't, because I heard some articles coming out. Yeah, you shouldn't do that. Just put the game out. Come on, and then they're like, no. And I guess it was a good idea because it would have killed them.
And the funny thing is, though, there's a lot of indie devs now that are a bit annoyed because Silksong is only $20. Right, and they're saying we can't deliver this kind of game for $20. So, yeah. if you read some threads on X, there's actually developers complaining about the price of Silksong.
So what they're saying is that since they charge $20, that makes them have to be forced to come down on their price.
Yeah, and they say they just can't do it. And see, I think this is a problem with the gaming industry and not the game. So if you're an indie dev, right, and you spend like let's say $50 million on a game, was way too much for an indie dev, right? And these guys, the three developer studio, right?
Yeah.
Okay, granted, it took them 7 years. That's maybe the downside to it. But they delivered, in the end, an excellent game.
Yeah.
And more of these people need to, more of these AAA studios or the quadruple A studios, Ubisoft, should probably look back more at these indie guys and go, look what they can make for $20. You know, honestly, you could even make the game $30 and not put as much time into it. It's still a good game. It's ridiculous. They just try to do each other with fancy graphics. And I like a shiny game, so does Grey. We all do. Yeah. But it's not, the shiny game is nothing without, look at Hellblade 2.
Yeah.
One of the most gorgeous perfect games example. I've ever seen. It's a bloody movie simulator. I hate it.
Yeah.
So your gameplay's got to be
it's not a game, eh? I mean,
no, it's not. It's a CGI expose, isn't it? Yeah. What can you do with computer graphics? There you go, Hellblade 2.
It looks gorgeous, but it's not a game. So When you said
about it being shiny and stuff, Trev, I thought that when I was watching Silksong, I thought it was a shiny game. In other words, instead of the charming side scroller kind of, you know, they really refined it, made it look nice, smooth, colorful, and I was surprised that you could even make a game like that look that good.
The thing is, though, if you make these kind of games, right, they have to be polished and they have to run good, because if there's any like hitches or whatever, a frame drops, you have a lot of problems in the game then.
Yeah,
you just can't do it anymore. So it needs to work perfectly. And again, it can't be emphasized enough. These are three people that made the game.
It's impressive.
It is impressive. And
well, you know what? Though, with all the money they've made, they can afford to hire one or two more.
I'm not sure if they're going to do that. We'll see. I don't know what they're going to do, though. But anyway, to everybody out there, I would recommend at least trying the game. If you've got Game Pass, it doesn't hurt to try it out. Maybe it's not your cup of tea. And if it is your cup of tea, you're going to have a really fun time figuring this stuff out. It's like a testament to the old days again.
Yeah.
That's the best I can describe it.
Speaking of triggering side tantrum,
did you see yesterday what I posted in the group chat? About Ewan McGregor coming to...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
200 euros for an autograph. 190 euros extra if you want something written on there.
That's because he's a Scot, mate. I'm sorry. We're really tight. We want some money.
Yeah, but you know what I thought was wild about that is when you sent it to me, all I could think of was like a menu at a restaurant. They have like five or six different things and the ways that he has to do it. And it's just like, this is this much. And then put your name on the backside, it's more. Yes. And if you got to put a picture of himself, it's more.
To be fair though, Hans, how often do you get someone of that caliber coming to a con? You never get the top Hollywood stars going to it. To be fair though,
Gamescom in Brussels mostly has, every year they have like one or two big stars though. So
That's why it cost them a shit ton. I think last year they
had Hayden Christensen, which was also pretty expensive, and you know, I just can't see me ever paying like 200 euros as a base price for somebody's autograph. I'm sorry.
No way.
Sorry, yeah.
Anybody wants mine, it's free.
Please just be my friend, though, and I'll give you a signature for free. Yeah.
All you have to do is follow, subscribe.
That's why I was involved with so many Star Trek conventions with my buddy. I got all of the autographed pictures for zero.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's the way to get it.
Yeah.
I went to my first one in the 90s in Newcastle. Didn't even bother with autographs or anything. All I did was grab a T-shirt, a phaser, and a com badge, and legged it pretty much.
Yeah, that's cool.
Priorities.
Yeah.
Then you got to spray it with like that lacquer spray so it doesn't rub off or something.
That thing's in pieces and somewhere in Newcastle Cemetery. Somewhere I lost it.
Cool.
In West Jesmond, if anybody's there and you find a com badge, it's mine.
Next thing, I just want to remind everybody, if you want to join our Discord, it's discord.gg/extreme gaming podcast. Also, check us out on YouTube. If you're listening to the audio podcast, we take the audio, jazz it up, throw some other stuff in it, and put out a video version of it. So you'll see some things that you won't see or you can't see in the audio version. We also got quick breaks. Those are like bite-sized stuff that we take out of our podcast. So if you're on the run or you're busy, you can check out those. And occasionally we pop in some shorts as well. I never thought gaming laptops would ever take off and do anything. And yet now there's a market for them.
I still think a bit of a side tangent though, besides from the money, right? Take the money aspect out of it. I still think it's amazing what, like, in my case, a 49 laptop can do. Because in the end, it's a laptop still. And like a few years back, this was unthinkable. A laptop could do those kind of things. Right? Yeah. I mean, I can game it with zero compromises in most games. Exception Indiana Jones and The Great Circle. That's just refused to run flat out on a laptop.
I think the first gaming laptop I saw was over 2 years ago. I can't remember the maker. But I do remember that it was kind of thick. I mean, it wasn't like a thin laptop. It was like about
They weigh like 4 kilograms also. So.
Yeah. But I was surprised when I was messing with it. It was at a store or something. I had to see what it was all about. But I was really shocked that it actually was running some stuff and it didn't look too bad.
It is.
So that was kind of interesting.
My laptop also, it has a OLED screen. It has HDR. It has everything you could actually want. And I do see why some people... Like, we talked about this before, the person I bought it from, he used to be a truck driver. And I do see why some people would buy it in that case. You have your high-end PC on the road.
Sure.
I mean, there is an argument to be made now, but yeah, the money, that's a different discussion.
I guess if you're going to use it all the time and not have a PC or a tower PC or whatever, then I guess the money would be justified.
And probably if you... You total up the amount of money you spend on your desktop, right? Including the screen, including the keyboard.
True. Right?
You're probably not that far off of something like that. So
I guess the only drawback, well, if you're on the road, it doesn't really matter. But when you're here, you want to plug it into maybe a bigger monitor. Now you did it, and it seems to run on your widescreen which is good. So you have the best of both worlds there. Have you taken it anywhere recently?
Whenever we go like on a mini vacation or something, right? Or we go away for the weekend, I take the laptop. And it's an 18-inch screen, which is awesome, right? 18-inch, it isn't that big, but for a laptop, that's like great, right? And I played Assassin's Creed on there. You know, I get like, what, with DLSS and FrameGen, I got like 100 FPS on that thing. Max out settings, which is crazy. So
I'm surprised that has 18-inch. I've never seen bigger than 17 on a laptop.
Yeah, this is 18. They started this 18-inch, which I think in reality is 17.8, I think.
Well, they do the diagonal. Nobody measures it left to right anymore.
Form of trickery there. But anyway, though, I'm pleasantly surprised about that laptop, what it can do, right? And not just that one, because you got 4590 laptops now, which cost like over 5,000 euros at some point. I mean, you got the 5070 Ti laptop, which I think is a budget laptop, but you can do multi-frame generation on it, right? So I think those are all cool things that you can do it in such a small form factor. So
yeah, if you can call the weight of it a small form, but yeah.
Yeah, it is. I mean, 4 kilograms kind of maybe beats the point of...
you're not lugging your PC everywhere, so that's
true. But you gotta be honest though, if you use a laptop like that without electricity, like just like that, you lose like half, you know, the performance, and the battery dies in like 1.5 to 2 hours if you're gaming.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say.
So they're not made. Do you need to plug them in? So
it's gotta suck a lot of power. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, they. I think for a laptop, this one takes 380 or 375.
Watts.
Maximum, yeah, watts, which is not a lot compared to my PC.
It. Yeah.
But for a laptop, it's a lot. So,
yeah.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I love it. I don't think I would upgrade it anytime soon because I'm not that into laptops. I think they're a cool piece of technology. Mm-hmm. And I actually dabbled in the idea of could I replace my gaming desktop with a gaming laptop? So, what I did was I played 1 month exclusively on my laptop, even on the screen. So I was like, as cool as it is, no. I would still prefer my desktop over my time on the laptop.
Well, I guess that's why they call it a laptop.
Yeah, there you go.
So today, what we're stepping into is a look at a brand new demo that I played recently called Global Rescue. The concept of this is it puts you in charge of every emergency service, the fire, police, EMS,
Thunderbirds.
Even SWAT. I wish it was Thunderbirds. Thunderbirds would be better.
Ooh.
Let's do Thunderbirds.
Is that the one with the puppets?
Yeah, that was a British show.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I used to watch it.
Well, brains. Yeah. It's pan and a pay. You have in this one, you manage and build your base. You manage staff.
Yeah, you're moving around. Your camera's doing the electronic follow thing.
Oh, not that.
Intel's heard me, and it's taken over.
We should all do that with our cameras. Put them on automatic and then just start doing this.
I hate it, man.
Make people really dizzy.
At least I didn't do the eye thing.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Your eye thing was very bizarre.
Yeah, next time I will.
Anyway. Yeah.
So with this one... You build your base.
You can drink if you want. We'll talk while you're drinking. Hey, did you see that game, Global Rescue? I was like,
Oh, dear. Yeah. So this one, you build your base or your office, your building. You manage staff. You have to dispatch vehicles and respond to incidents, problems across the living city. On paper, it's a fantastic idea. A single hub where you coordinate all first responders, blending management, logistics, and crisis response. The experience, once you dive in, the cracks begin to show, and not just the one on your butt. Buildings and roads don't always light up, which breaks the immersion. That's what she said. The city itself feels more like a backdrop than a living, breathing environment. There's scale, but not much life in that area. The base building is functional, very clunky. Placing and aligning structures can be very frustrating. There's little feedback on the decorations or layouts, whether they matter or anything. Each room is separate. You can't have them in one block. They have to be their separate blocks, which makes no sense to me at all. It's like you don't just go into an office and then come out and then go into a toilet from the outside, unless it's a public toilet. what is that? You know, you don't just have a bedroom and then go straight into the toilet, then into the office. Well, that'd be quite Japanese.
Anyway, I would like to see that.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
If you're doing a remote job from home, that's technically it will correct.
Be. Yeah, yeah. It would save a lot of time, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Put a fridge in the middle, you'd be fine. Oh, I need shit. Oh, let's have a drink first. Yeah. So with that said, the scope is impressive. The map size is generous. It is a good size map. But the potential for managing multiple services at once is quite clear. When it works, it does feel like you're running a command center, as long as you don't look at it. Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. As long as you don't look at it?
As long as you don't look
at it. Is
that
what you said?
Yeah. So far the takeaway is the Globe Rescue is a good idea with solid foundations, but the demo shows that it needs a lot more polishing. The systems are there. The ambition is there. But the execution, especially the city design and base building,
not so
needs
much.
A lot of refinements. The developers can tighten up the visuals, add more life to the city, and smooth out the buildings. Mechanics, this could grow into a lot better game for sure. Yeah, there you go. There's my quick review of Global Rescue Demo, which is available to play for anybody on Steam, but it will be releasing soon, sometime in the near future.
This does look like a Souls-like, to be honest.
It does. It does. That's exactly what I was thinking. Here we go. It's down the bars. Here we go.
They use Souls-like so much that the next Mario game will come out and they'll probably go, it's Souls-like.
To be fair, a little side tangent, though. The Souls-like genre, there's only two games, I think, that did it right. And that was the Jedi Survivors and Lies of P. Those are the only ones that actually did it good, and all the other ones just plain suck, to be fair.
True, absolutely.
Yeah. So this game looks pretty creepy. How much did you play, Matt?
I haven't played this. I've just seen it, and I was like, this looks like only because of the graphics, the way the play style, because it's not normally something I'd go for, especially with the puzzles and all that stuff. But as soon as they started swearing, I was like, I'm in. That's me. I'm sold on this.
Yeah. Swearing really got me, man.
And that's it. Yeah.
I thought the puzzles that they showed were kind of interesting looking.
They were very interesting. Yeah. Like, normally I hate puzzles. I really don't like them. I'll play them, especially if it's got, you know, that sort of sense that you get with thrillers, horrors, that I need to get this thing done or I'm getting eaten by something behind me. So it kind of had that S kind of feeling to it there. Yeah. So let me tell you about it first. It's also out on all the consoles, minus the Nintendo ones. So, Trevor will have to miss out on that one. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So you got your PlayStation 5, Xbox Series, XS, and PC. Yeah, so it's bringing a haunted blend of psychological thriller, exploration, and melee combat.
It's
actually directed by the Deus Ex Human Revolution veteran, Jonathan Jacques Belletti. I hope I said your name right. If I don't,
okay.
There you go. Change your name.
I'm sure he listens. So.
Yeah. He does. Tell me. Yeah. So the game drops players into a fictional nation of Hedia, a land scarred by civil war and plagued by supernatural beings known as the Hollow Walkers. Sounds kind of familiar.
Hollow Walkers.
Players step into the boots of Remy Latam, a rogue peacekeeper with a deeply personal quest to uncover his origins
and
the truth behind. He does indeed. Yeah, he loves cussing. He must be Irish. With the truth, I can say that because I'm Irish. And the truth behind a catastrophic event called the Calamity. I nearly said something else. But with no maps, no quest markers, or handholding at all, exploration is technically driven by instinct, environmental clues, and conversations that you have with survivors within that world.
That means I lost already.
I am totally lost. I'm gonzo. Yeah, you think that's going to be a 40-hour game? It's going to be a 40-year game for me.
Yeah,
I'll be just going around in circles. So the combat is deliberately intimate, focused on swords, axes, and pole arms, while a mysterious drone companion aids in both battle and puzzle solving. Definitely needed for me. Thank you very much for putting that in, especially for me. See, I told you he knows me. Yeah.
The thing is, like, Windows 10 was supposed to be the last one. I don't know if you ever remember that quote. So Apple were doing the same, that they've had version 10 for ages, but it'll be like 10.1, 2, 3, 4. and they just bring out a new version each year, but they try and just keep it roughly the same, just add bells and whistles to it. If it's not broken, you don't need to do a lot to fix it. And I remember roughly about the same time, Windows going, right, okay, we bring up Windows 10. So they bypassed Windows 9, didn't they? They just bypassed it and went, right, let's go straight to bloody 10, which is a nice even number. And then they would just bring out iterations every year.
But, I want Windows Millennium back. Can they do that?
I love Windows Me, man. Well, XP was my favorite, boys.
XP was mine. Absolutely.
And actually, 7 was also really good.
Windows 7 was good.
Not Vista.
We're not speaking of Windows 8.
Hey, I miss 3.0. I miss Windows 3.0, man. Come on.
That was revolutionary back when I went to school. Like,
or 3.1 was the first GUI version.
Windows for work groups was 3.1.
Yeah. Was it? Yeah, that's
or 3.11. Actually, 3.11 to be exact.
All right. Okay. Fancy pants.
I remember that when it came out, I had a chance to pick it up, so I did. So I'm
Gray was on the development team.
Install it.
He was there.
You just.
He was there, Gandalf, 5,000 years ago.
You just keep your floppies out of this, Gray, right?
I don't want to say too much about floppies because I probably own more floppies than anyone here.
I don't have those big ones,
the big black ones. What are they?
Yeah, I don't have any of those.
I remember messing with them, but I don't have any of those.
I don't even know if I have any of that, Matt.
Yes, right. Yeah.
I remember that. That was like ancient, but I didn't know what they did exactly. I was young then, but it was pretty. Yeah, they were big, man.
Oh, deja vu, man.
Yeah. I used to have, English programs on there to teach me how to read and write and say words, speech thingies.
In school, we had a drawing program, like a turtle and a pen. And you need to draw lines and stuff. So. Yeah.
Those things held what? Like a megabyte?
Yeah.
The whole disk?
Yeah,
I could actually check, but it means I have to get up, so no.
Yeah. Or if you remember zip disks, the like hard floppy disks.
I'm glad you said that because I was going to say that.
And then they brought out 100 megabyte, and you're like, oh my God, so much
storage. Get that.
I don't have them. I swear to God, I had.
Your zip drive. You had a zip drive, Gray.
Oh, yeah. I still have about a dozen zip disks.
That's cool. Keep that shit, man. Keep that shit. Right. There's some more news for us, Mr. Matt.
So Kojima has done it again and unveils a creepy new teaser for OD. Kojima has returned to the horror genre with a vengeance. With the 10th anniversary Beyond the Strand showcase, the legendary creator revealed a chilling new teaser for his long-rumored Xbox-exclusive horror project, now officially titled OD. A knock at the door. So a teaser at the start, if you caught it, opens in first person, placing the player inside a rain-soaked house, who's played by actress Sophie Lillis, who was in Dungeons & Dragons and Honor Among Thieves, portrays the protagonist, who cautiously explores a dimly lit room while an ominous knocking sound echoes around the halls.
So the whole game is in only one room?
That'd be a good short room. A red car slipped through on the under door, burying a grotesque face on one side and a cryptic phrase, light the fires to celebrate there, on one of the sides. Yeah, the teaser ends with the door creaking open and a supernatural entity entering the room. Kojima's vision of fear is explained during the live stream of this. It explores his personal fear of loud knocking sounds. So if you want to get back at him, just knock. Just keep knocking on his door. So there you go. It's a special system that Kojima has teased. Even the infrastructure is totally new. Nobody has ever done this type of thing before. He's hinted at experimental gameplay mechanics powered by Xbox Cloud technology and Han's favorite, Unreal Engine 5. It's all going to die.
I don't have a lot of problems with it. I'm sorry.
blending film. Filmic presentations with interactive horror. The cast so far is Sophie Lillis, Hunter Schafer from Euphoria, and Odo Kier from Suspiria and Blade. The project is being developed in partnership with Xbox Game Studios, with Microsoft Gaming CEO Phil Spencer calling it bold, unique, and unmistakably Kojima.
Wow. Yeah. Do you remember PT back in the day? It was only like the demo, the little demo on the PS4.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I've got it. It was great. You just went down a corridor and that was supposed to be his next big horror game. But for whatever reason, it fell away. This looks like it's the unofficial version of that game coming out years later.
Yeah.
You can't get PT anymore. You have to have added it to your library or have it on your console already.
Absolutely.
Shame.
Yeah.
Excellent.
You know, since you brought up haptics, I don't know if I'm going to do this, but I'm thinking about it. I have the haptic headsets that Razer makes, which, by the way, is phenomenal. And I think I mentioned last podcast, I put them down for a year, and then picked them back up and started playing all the DLC on Sniper Elite Resistance. And I was like, whoa. And they had gone through an upgrade. So the upgrade was a software upgrade. And so when that came out, I'm going like, geez, this is even better than it was before. But they also have a thing that I don't remember the exact name of it, but they've come out with a haptic back piece.
Mm, yeah.
So it's kind of like it goes from your shoulders, I think, or maybe your head. I don't remember. All the way down to like your waist. And there's like six or eight sections on this thing. So that when you wear the headsets and you use this thing, when people come from whatever direction, or if there's an explosion, or if someone's firing at you, whatever, it knows how many of these little pads should go on and off, one at a time, two, all of them. And I'm sitting there thinking like, that sounds pretty cool. I think it's like $300, but I might splurge because...
Okay, just a question for Matt then, because would that be any helpful for the games he plays?
Oh... Yeah.
So imagine what you can do with those things. Yeah.
he needs another piece.
Well, they probably need a hip one.
He needs a piece lower down that they can't really talk about.
He needs
a
frontal
pod.
Piece. A frontal piece will do it. Yeah.
Front, side, and back.
Yeah, T-boy.
One size fits all.
Yeah, yeah.
He wants to play genital jousting for real.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah,
I try it sometimes on the weekend, but I'm always left.
You won't see that on our YouTube channel because monetization doesn't.
I was
like
banned
that.
For illegal competition, so don't worry about that.
Yeah.
Well, that is a very good point, boys. Side tangent, surprising for us, I know. We have to be really good and not swear too much because the YouTube thing does not like it at that stage with your partner that hates it, in fact.
See, that is a thing about being a single father. Well, I learned to say freck and all that kind of stuff and chisel and, you know, fork.
or tish.
Yeah.
By the trucker.
To be honest, YouTube is pretty forgiving in some ways.
I think it's the first 10 minutes, if I remember correctly, right?
But you just can't get too overboard with it. There's people on the air now that use all kinds of explicatives and they're million subscribers and la, la, la. But we never
go
were
too
potty,
far.
We're extremely potty mouthed anyway, so you know.
Yeah. True.
You know, we're cool.
You can always say frat.
You never played with Matt, did you?
Okay. Oh, I played some games with Matt.
Okay. Yeah, just dying.
Yeah.
Well, with him like that, but with him in the game. I mean,
that's fine.
Oh, game. I'm talking about game.
I got the
we're in a Discord room, we can chat what we want. That's always absolutely fine, and we often do so. No. Then last but not least, Wolverine the game. We did get gameplay. I'm not going to play the trailer just now. Gray can put it in if he wants later on. I won't do that just now, but it looks great. And the thing is, boys, if you've not seen this, go and watch it after, because it is whatever the Peggy rating is over there. It's 18 over here. It is blood. It is gore. It is proper graphic, proper violent blood and gore. I love it. They're not holding back. It's a semi-famous voice actor as well.
I'm happy it's not a Spider-Man clone. I had a bit of fears that we're going to do like the Spider-Man treatment, which personally I didn't like, but it's a me problem apparently because millions of people like that game. But I'm happy it's a different game. So
instead of TNA, it's got a lot of B and G. is what you're saying.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Understatement, our friend. It's Insomniac.
A lot of TNA on top of the BNG. Now, that would be like...
that would be Deadpool, probably.
It's Insomniac, the guys that made the Spider-Man games. They've been trusted with the keys to the Marvel Universe again. When it comes to Marvel... When it comes to Spider-Man games, Marvel have the rights to the games. I think it's just Sony that have the rights to all the rest of the stuff. So
yeah, Sony has Spider-Man the character or something,
and all the sub characters as well, which is like 100 plus. It was a brilliant masterstroke from Sony in the day. Yeah.
Well, but the funny thing is, Sony, by the contract, has to have something come out of Spider-Man every so often to be able to hold on to the rights. Yeah. But what I think is even funnier is back when Marvel made the deal. Of course, they weren't nearly as big and they weren't making that much money, blah, blah, blah. But basically, Marvel had to rent Spider-Man back just so they could do their own Spider-Man movies.
They still do, no?
Yeah. Well, they have a sharing agreement where Sony will get to use some of the Marvel characters if Marvel can use Spider-Man in their Avengers movies.
I know that the Spider-Man movies, the Marvel ones, that a lot of money is going back to Sony. That I know. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's Marvel that makes them. It's Marvel that makes them as well, and Sony just take a big chunk of the money back. Yeah, nice. It's a good agreement. It's a
really nice contract.
Anyway. Right, so the last thing I've got on that, well, it's a different article, but also in the State of Play, they announced October's PS Plus Essential games. Now, I only tend to announce these if there's any kind of decent games in it. And there is actually one decent game that's in it, and that is Alan Wake 2. Yes, that's not even that long out. And it's coming to the PS Plus Essentials tier, which is the middle tier and up. So I'm very surprised about that. The other games on that list are, I played one of these and it's always a riot, Goat Simulator 3. Yes, you heard that right.
He's the simulator guy.
Yeah.
The new sim man.
And Cocoon is the last one. I don't really know much about that, but they're out in October the 7th.
Is it based on the movie?
I was going to say,
I think Zach Bora KD, isn't it? Like Centipede or something like that.
I
need the Cocoon the movie because you know the old guys go on
the
Cocoon
problem
and,
is,
they, and all
I don't
of a sudden
own
they're
a
younger.
PlayStation, so I can't play anyway. So.
No, you cannot, good sir. The last bit of news I've got for the gaming side of things is, and this wasn't really a surprise, but we knew this was probably going to happen. It was leaked. Forza Horizon 6 has officially been announced and will be set in Japan. Now they showed very little of this. This was at the Xbox Tokyo Game Show, which can have some really good nuggets of information and trailers that come out of it. It's a big deal. So, it's officially coming. There is no real information on it. We don't have a time, a price, anything like that. I would hope it'd be by the end of next year, but we can't promise that, especially because is it Playground Games that make this? They have been ravaged with cuts. So how they've even got this one almost made is beyond me. But we played Forza before. I played most of the Forza Horizon games. They're fun. They are good fun. It'll be on Game Pass. Xbox, consoles, PC... I think it is next year. I think it is next year from the same, but nothing official. So Japan looks beautiful. I've always wanted to go, so it'd be nice to actually cut about the country of Japan and see some cool sights. Right, that is me for the gaming news for now. The amount of video games released on Steam has reportedly increased by 93% from 2020 to 2024. 93%, boys. Wow. Oh, my God. See what a pandemic does for the world? I'm not saying I want another COVID pandemic. I'm not.
Yeah.
Just saying. But, I mean, are you boys surprised by that stat?
No. And to be fair, as a hardcore Steam loyalist that I am, I'm Steam level 152 or something, or 42. I don't even remember that.
Rumor has it Hans works for Valve, by the way.
Yeah. No. Oh, quick note on that one, because the highest Steam level is 5002. Just saying. right? So I'm nowhere near that. But I am a bit, you know, how do I say this? It doesn't fill me with joy, so to speak, because the whole point of the PC is that you got this open market, right? And we got to be honest, Steam has like, what, 90 to 99% of all video game sales on PC. And as much as I'm guilty of it too, because I really hate some of the other launchers, right? And Steam is just the best. So, but please, more competition.
Well, this is Epic's good for that. I mean,
To be fair, do you think Epic is a good storefront? I hate it.
It's pretty average, but they give out the free games every week or every month, you know, and that's a great thing.
Get them almost every week. I got like 300 games all free.
Hans, while I agree with you that Steam's the best one, and it's probably all of our favorite ones, right? Because they do a really good job. It's a passionate, they're a private company. Absolutely. They put everything into making that the best they can. However, I still don't like the fact that they charge publishers or developers 30% to publish the game, whereas Epic charged 12.5% or 13%,
and
something
still
like that.
Developers, you know, prefer Steam.
I was just going to say that, regardless of that, it hasn't seemed to make much of a dent.
No, Steam is almost untouchable at this point.
Their sales are better than they used to be. I've said this before, their sales used to be shit for such a long time because sites like CD Keys would always win, and then I think Steam realised that and went, let's bring out our deep discount section on the sales, and they're actually decent now. So I mean, respect.
Just a quick update, I am Steam level 142, not 52.
Wow, you only have 4,000 more levels to go.
Yeah, come on.
I mean, I don't know what bloody level I'm at. Maybe I could find out. I'll probably find out for you boys.
Just go to my account and then it's in the bottom.
It was, Bloomberg's Jason Schreier that came up with that article. He's one of the big guys in the industry there. So often a lot of things he said are relevant. What I'm looking at my Steam account at the moment, I'm level 19, years of service over 1,000 XP.
I got 14 years of service.
Level 19. I thought it was higher than that. No. Yeah. What level are you, Hans?
Did you say 90 or 19?
19.
19? That does seem low.
I'm 142. But Jesus. I do play the card collecting thingy. So,
you know why it's got a level that high? Because he pays full price for Borderlands.
you actually don't get any levels to buy games. That's a myth.
It's got multiplayer. Well.
Or a partial myth.
Actually,
I don't know what level I am. I'd have to go on and check. I have no clue.
It literally tells you under Steam under your.
But I have to open name. Steam. I didn't feel like doing that. But
maybe I can see.
But
if
before we go, I want to say one more thing. I'm leaning into Steam right now. I think Conj sent me the clip originally. But anyway, they gave a special badge and everything out to this one guy that
level
40,000 Steam games. I'm going 40,000? How could you possibly own 40,000 Steam games? I'm like, wow.
Yeah, I heard about this. It's cool.
Humble Bundle does a lot.
Humble Bundle.
Yeah, but you literally have to buy like every game that comes out almost.
Well, there's over 100,000 games on Steam, so he's not even close to having everything. So. But yeah, it's an insane feat, to be fair.
All right, we're going to move on to some more game impressions or reviews. And Matt, I guess you messed with Dune Awakening again?
I did. So, yeah, they had a free weekend a couple of weeks ago on the 11th to the 15th.
They had more than one, too.
Technically, it was only for 2 days. So it was Saturday, it was unlocked, and Sunday. There wasn't a Friday or anything. It was a dodgy weekend. So, yeah, I jumped in to play a few games of there. It was okay. The story part at the beginning was fine. I had to recreate my character because I remember that I deleted it.
Was this your second time playing it, or
it was the first time playing the demo? But it was the second time because they gave you prior to that a character creation tool prior to the game. Because I was going to get it. And because I was into Mayans for ages, I think I've been asking people, what do you think about this game? What would you do? Where'd you join? So, blah, blah, blah. And I think I came to the result of not doing it at all. But I did do the free weekends just to have a go at it. And I found it to be quite boring, quite plain, pretty much on the servers that I joined, they were empty.
Wow.
Yeah, they were empty. They give you like, oh, you can do high population, low population. So I did two, and there was like no players around that I could see. There were NPCs scattered here and there, not very close by. And with the amount of space that you have, there's not really much you can do but run from a big giant worm that's going to come at you. It's a bit like where...
That's Dune.
Yeah, yeah. So
I also heard you can't ride the worm, or can you?
Eventually, you should be able to. Yeah.
Okay.
As the chosen one. But I got to a certain point, started building a base, ran around, collecting, building. And at that point, I was like, you know what? I'm not getting anywhere. I'm not getting anything from this. Yeah. I did enjoy how they put things together. It's very much Conan-y with a new skin. It really is, especially with the climbing aspects as well. Some of it was quite newish and interesting, like when you're attacking NPCs, but it was kind of like a bit naff. Looking up to the sky was quite interesting. You can see ships. You can see the big circly, is it the Wrecking ship that you see? Yeah. So that's quite fun. That's quite interesting for that. That was a bit, yeah.
Not did you taken get the fly the dragonfly ship or whatever they call it?
No, I was still building a base. I was still right at the beginning near enough, and I spent hours on it.
You should have been building a base.
Yeah. I even told the missus to go away and cook while I was doing this so I could have a few hours. She's just like, you look frustrated. And I'm like, I'm playing this game. And she was like, you're not really doing much. I'm like, oh, I'm doing enough.
So it's not out completely yet. Then apparently, or is it?
I think it is. Yeah,
it is released. Yeah.
It's released. Yeah.
The main criticism I heard is that the game is very empty. Apparently,
It is empty. It's very sparse.
Yeah,
that's
a shame. That's
weird. I know a few friends of mine that play it, and they say there's literally, if you don't have your own server, so to speak, it's kind of pointless. So I'm not sure if you can even get your own server, but
yeah, it was. It's horrible.
It really is.
Absolutely.
A while back, they said RTS is dead and just forget about it. Don't bother making any new ones. But, you know, I think it's been on a mini surge lately. I mean, remember, people forget sometimes that Civilization essentially is an RTS. And a lot of people play that, except the new one that everybody seems to hate for some reason. And some of these other games you could call, I guess you could say some of them are RTS hybrids, but there's still enough of the RTS in it, you know, to keep it as an RTS. And I like RTS a lot. I know a lot of, you know, there's a certain section of people, our friend Trev included, that don't really like RTS. But and the other one is, what's the other one that's not RTS? The, I can't think of the name right now.
There's so many examples.
Turn-based.
Yeah, no, that's nothing for me. I mean, I would play that single player, like solo, but not with a friend. Because otherwise you have to wait like 5 minutes until your friend is done with his turn and kind of stuff. So that's not my thing. It's not good for multiplayer. So
I liked both the RTS and I like the turn base because I don't know, it's just different. But Expedition 33 is turn base and people that never played turn base are liking that game.
Yeah, but that's an RPG.
It is, but it's still turn based. The combat is
it
all
is, turn-based. Yeah, but I mean Expedition 33, or Claire's Cure, or whatever you want to call it now, but it's the whole title, I guess.
Right.
I mean, that's a love letter to the older Japanese-style RPGs, which were all turn-based, like, see in the back, maybe here, Chrono Trigger and Final Fantasy III. Those are considered to be the two best turn-based RPGs ever made, right? And it's a bit of a love letter to those kind of games. They did a twist on there, I think, which was cool with the timing and all kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I like the game a lot. For me personally, Clair Obscur Expedition 33 is the game of the year. And I think there's a big chance it's going to win it. We'll see. But what I was going to say about Tempest Rising now, right? So if you're into your old school RTS games, right? Then you would like this game. It is a bit bare boned with only two factions at the moment. I got to be honest, I haven't looked into a roadmap or anything. There probably is one because from what I read, this game was kickstarted at some point. So there has to be something that they put out there so people kickstarted it. So. And then,
you said how much was the game?
That's what I was going to say. The game is €50, right, on Steam. And I was
that's
like,
a little steep for what it is.
Too steep for what it is, right? We bought it for 20. And I think if you can get it for 20 to 25, you have an... then you have a good deal and you will get your money out of it if you like RTS games.
Yeah.
If you're not a fan of RTS games, then stay well away from this one. And it's also the older Command and Conquers, you would have some time to build up your army, right? Sure. This one, I guess, is more competitive because it's more based on a rushing tactic. So you just rush as fast as possible to the enemy and crush him.
But does Tempest have like slider difficulties to, you know, just to reset some of that?
There's you can choose the three difficulties, like easy, medium, hard, right? The usual one. And then when you create the game, what you can do is you can give yourself some extra money and some extra units at the start. But what you set there, the computer will also have. So there's not, it's not that, I mean, you can so do you some stuff.
You can't say I want 120 units, but they can only have 50.
No, you can't do that. No, it's not No. But you can see that the game is still in, it's not an early access game, but you can see that the game is still young, right? Mm-hmm. And if there is a roadmap, which I really should have looked into, I'm sorry, everybody, but I just got the game like Saturday, I think. So, and there is potential here. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Let me check how many people are online now. See, at this point, there's only 523 people in game.
Yeah. Probably because the game hasn't been really widely publicized. I mean, we're giving it a shot now.
Sorry, go ahead, Green.
No, I'm saying if the concurrent players all of a sudden goes up in a week or two, we can thank us. You know?
Yeah, but they do also have like ranked and leaderboards and all that kind of stuff. And I think they reset somewhere this month. So maybe after the reset, it probably goes up again. See, I'm not a competitive player because I don't have the skills for it.
Neither do I. That's why I like being able to go into a game to set it up to what your strengths are, I guess, or whatever, or what you're able to handle.
In our case.
Yeah.
But anyway, to make a long story short, I love the game. It's a typical old school RTS game with a bit of a shiny coat to it. Graphics are okay. Gameplay's fine. There's no stuttering or hitches, which is a lot in these days, apparently. But I have nothing negative to say about it. I would say if you can get it for $20-$25 or even on a sale, that's better than that. Just if you like RTS games, try it out.
Sure, why not?
Apparently now the new trend is 6-7, and I have no idea what it is.
I have no idea.
Oh, no, that's been going on. Yeah, my grandson's into
that. Oh, you know it. Gray knows it. Now I want to know what it is.
I still don't really know what it is. He comes up and I go, I say, what's 6-7? He goes like, well, you know, it's like a, you know, well, you know. And I'm like, okay.
No, I don't know.
So now we still don't know because...
You want to hear a funny story. So he's got like an Instagram account and they just make goofy things and send them to each other. So he goes, Papa, can you do 6-7? And I go like, yeah, I guess. I mean, I'm sitting there going like, well, I don't even know what the hell it is. So I sat there on camera going like this, 6-7, 6-7, 6-7. And then he did something goofy to it and sent it out to his friends. His friends loved it. They were like,
I need to be more in sync with internet lore because I have no idea what this means at the moment. So,
yeah.
Wow.
I thought it was just a gen speak for good shit or something.
She got a report card and there's no 6 or 7s on there. Let's just say that.
Not gonna do any more than that.
Which like
I won up my grandson. I said, so you do know that I'm 67. And he goes, oh yeah, 6-7. I said, yeah, but next week I'll be 6-8.
Whoa,
6-8, baby. Like, oh, and I said, well, that doesn't matter. You start a 6-8 thing and maybe it'll go across the country.
Yeah.
Anyway, we digress, but we have fun to do that. A couple quick things. If you want to join our Discord, discord.gg/extremegamingpodcast. We've had about 20-25 people join in the last couple months. You're welcome to it. We talk about all the stuff that we talk about here, but we also talk about entertainment and other wild stuff. So it's a lot of fun. Also on YouTube, as I mentioned before, you will see a video version of this to where we put all what we like to call the shinies. And we put in some special pictures and or other videos and stuff like that that you won't see or experience on the audio podcast. We also do our breaks, which are basically chunks of our podcast so that you can digest them in quick bites, as they say. Sometimes we also do some shorts, and we also have YouTube memberships now because we're a partner. So if you can if you're looking at the video right now, please like, subscribe, ring the bell so you know what things are going on. And if you would like to join up on the membership, there'll be some special things like seeing maybe the podcast earlier than everybody and or some of the other things that we do a little bit earlier. One other thing I wanted to bring up too is we're doing a cross promotion with gameho.io. That's GAMEHO.io. And if you were listeners of our show, not too long ago, we had Merrick who started Gameho a couple years ago. One of the reasons why we wanted to talk to him is because I had never seen anything like this before, where we have all participated in servers on rare occasions, but the reason why we end up giving them up is because they cost too much money and we don't have time to play it every day. He's come up with a unique system where you can have your own game server, but you only pay as you play. So if you're playing, whatever, 10 hours a week and then you stop, the money machine stops too, and you don't owe anything until the money machine starts up again. Almost like a cab, right? So, And no, I haven't seen anybody do anything like this, and I haven't seen any competition do anything like this. So that was very cool and unusual. And if you want, you can look back on our old videos and you'll find the video that we did. We also did a quick breaks on it, so you can take a look. But what we're doing with them is that normally when you go on gameho.io, you see as you register, you get 3 months free of server time so that you can experience it and play it. But if you go to gameho.io/EGP, as in Extreme Gaming Podcast, so that's gameho, gameho.io/EGP. When you get there, you will get an additional 4 hours on top of the three that you got when you normally. So in all, you'll get 7 hours totally free to use on Gameho on a server that you can do stuff with your friends. Right now, I think his servers have about 5 different games. He kind of lets the public dictate whether he adds any other games to the servers. But he has, things, a couple different programs there. So we've been trying to get him to do Rust. I don't know if he's going to do it, but we've been kind of pushing him on that one. But there's a lot of, programs that you'll be familiar with and so forth. So for 7 hours, just go to gameho.io/EGP, pick up on the three and pick up on another 4 with that. And it'll be a special page that we both worked on. And now you'll be able to join and get 7 hours total. So take a look at that, and I think, and make us all happy, as they say.
Was it Woolworths, Matt, whatever you want? Remember that song, the advert?
Yeah.
Was it Woolworths, whatever you want?
Woolworths? We used to have one of those over here.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
They went out long ago.
It was the catalog guys.
Oh, wow. Yeah, now you're going back. I thought I was old. You're going back to catalog ordering.
Yes. Yeah, man. Yeah.
The hell's a catalog?
Yeah, those are the days.
If I ask my daughter, she barely knows what a catalog is. If I ask my grandkids, they go, "What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Ordering from a book?
Yeah,
we just go online, man." I know.
Get the phone number of the yellow pages.
So, that's it. Yeah.
You know what's funny though? Speaking of catalogs, you think they were long gone, which they are, right? Every once in a while, though, Amazon sends a catalog. They just sent one today before the Prime Days.
Never got anything.
It's not a very big catalog, but apparently they found out that people are actually reacting to a catalog.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's been a whole AI algorithm,
just for you, Greg. Yeah.
Matt, I think it's actually Argos.
Argos, yeah. I was thinking Burger King, wherever you want it that way.
But it's the status quo. It's whatever you want by status quo.
Yeah.
British rock band. I know status quo, so yeah. Many people have used that. Anyway, sorry, that's more of a UK thing. I'm sorry if anyone else out in the UK is like, what the hell is smoking? I'm not telling you.
No. They know by now if they've listened to this show.
Absolutely. So it's only wired version. There's no wireless options there, and it weighs 300 grams.
Wait, whoa.
Yeah.
You get such a fancy thing and all, and it's not a wireless version?
Yeah, but why would you, Matt? You wouldn't, though, Greg. Mm. It's that premium. The best quality connection is always wired, no matter how good wireless you've got.
And it stops you losing it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So they
hardwired.
Yeah, so the prawns, as you know, the pros excellent precision, great for esports, great responsiveness, drift proof.
Esports? Controller.
Esports. It's in the controller.
No.
Great for players who want to tinker with layouts as well.
Day one.
Yeah, it's very similar to the previous eSwap X2, which was the main upgrade with the Hall Effect sticks, which is still wired. And some of the drawbacks are the price. And yeah, the price is a bit hefty. For a
I want to know where they ever got this name, Hall Effect. Whenever I hear Hall Effect, I mean, I know what it is. I just think like something down my hallway is going to be like, you know, happening. Like it's a Hall Effect. Look down there.
Hall Effect is premium, mate. It's the best of the best.
Yeah. No, I know.
The only Hall Effect I've got is a poltergeist going through it.
Okay. Yes, that's what I was talking about. Oh, yeah, exactly.
Boom.
Hall Effect. Tumbleweed.
Maybe they wanted to call it Hell of Effect, you know, like Hell of an Effect, and they just kind of like, you know, went with the Hall and stuff.
That's it.
We're full of them today, the ladies.
We are.
Trev, help me. Help me here, Trev.
Oh, yeah, but we're screwed, mate. I've been sucked into this a long time ago, man. You don't get extra pay or nothing for this, man.
No, hey, look, we've had wait. Just to
you
answer
get
Helen,
compensation
though,
with extra therapy.
We've had actually people.
True AI.
People,
yeah.
Wait, listen. We've had actually people contact us telling us that they listen to the rambles that we do more than anything else sometimes. So we keep it up, man.
It makes it unique.
It does.
True. Oh, that's for sure. No doubt about it.
So you're just telling me that they love me?
Yeah, you tell yourself that, Matt.
Yeah.
All right. Whatever helps, Matt, whatever helps.
Are we ready for Trev yet there, Matt, or what?
Oh, we're ready. Yeah.
Oh, right. I'm coming for you.
I bet you, you dirty booger.
Get some... I'm talking. That's some hardware tech news for you lovely people.
I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start a flame in your heart.